The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. This Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Again, I'm your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stab Miller today. And I want to get to some of this 2A stuff, kind of centered stuff, and some of the news stories. But for some reason, I don't know, Hitler is, the Nazi regime is swirling in my mind, especially after Chris's call. I'm not sure why. But, you know, and when I guest hosted recently, I mentioned, you know, that David Hogg really does, you know, again, at the risk of invoking Godwin's law, David Hogg really does remind me of Hitler. I mean, really. A young Hitler, you know, it's the March for Our Lives nonsense. I mean, it's all absurd. March for Our Lives, sponsored by Planned Parenthood with, you know, they, I mean, they admit they are responsible for more than a quarter of a million abortions, what, just in the last year or so? That's murder, by the way. So these innocent children can be murdered by a group that sponsors March for Our Lives. Does something seem wrong in this society? Anyway, David Hogg reminds me of young Hitler at the beer hall putsch, basically. And Dr. Carl Alexander von Mueller, interesting, a professor of modern history and political science at the University of Munich and a supporter of one of the instruments of, well, one of Hitler's apparatchiks, you might say, was an eyewitness to the beer hall putsch. And the way he wrote about it, he said, "I cannot remember in my entire life such a change in the attitude of a crowd in a few minutes, almost a few seconds. Hitler had turned them inside out, as one turns a glove inside out, with a few sentences. It had almost something of hocus pocus or magic about it." And so, reading Mein Kampf, watching his speeches, reading the translations, watching the revenge. I mean, David Hogg strikes me as the same kind of weakling that Adolf Hitler was, who is a sycophant to power, who has that, as Alan Watt puts it, the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath, that kind of psychopathy. Wanting that kind of power, you know, playing the role basically, but really not having the political roots or fortitude to carry things out. As far as Hitler was is concerned, my leanings are at this point more probably kind of right in the along the lines of what David Irving has said. Most recently, that basically, you know, Himmler was probably the point guy for most of the worst atrocities in the Nazi regime. But that doesn't mean that Hitler was without guilt by any means. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, the 6 million thing, you know, you have the two kind of sides that are both false sides. You know, 6 million happened, nothing happened. Those are both false, I would say. But, you know, somewhere in the middle, obviously, something very horrific happened. The 6 million number was the number that was being thrown in the faces of the people from before the turn of the 20th century. And it's, you know, the same number we hear today, obviously, but 6 million, 6 million, in accordance with Pike's letter to Mazzini, outlining three world wars, the second, you know, to use this to create this mechanism of political Zionism, then to collide against political Islam for the third world war, to foment the third. And there was a bunch of machinery and architecture that had to be employed before, obviously, this state of Israel was so-called created, British Israel, quite literally, in 1948. You had all of those agreements, the Sykes-Picot and the other one I always forget, the Balfour Declaration, which wasn't the Balfour Declaration, according to Carol Quigley, the British Mandate, you know, $50 million worth of land purchased by that benevolent, philanthropic, ardent, hardcore Zionist, Baron Edmund de Rothschild, and what was $50 million back then. You know, all of this kind of stuff falling in place, you know, who spends $50 million just because they're a nice guy, especially if you're part of the Rothschild clan. So, you know, there's all of that, and I don't know, watching him speak, you know, listening to David Hogg, David Hogg's sister's armbands and all of that, David Hogg is not a rational person, and he seems, you know, sort of like an effeminate little weakling who is a sycophant to power and enjoys the infatuation that he is receiving, and it feeds his narcissism. And anyway, I think he's a dangerous person. I think Tucker Carlson is right. He is, by definition, an extremist that not anyone should listen to. Certainly not. Shouldn't be yelling at the rest of the country, telling us what to think and how to behave and so forth, especially with no background in information, knowledge, wisdom, you know. Anyway, I want to get back to the two-way thing. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Alan in South Carolina. Alan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Clear.
Hey, Alan.
What? Hello?
Hello? Hello. Go ahead.
Okay. What moved me to call was what Chris from Las Vegas had said about fascists.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking he was right on point about the general 20th century geopolitics, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go back quickly, make a comment, and put my position on Adolf. I generally feel like he was an amateur. His biggest fault was his egotistical or super egotistical impatience. But Bonaparte had the same suffered from the same megalomania, is mostly forgiven by the socialists.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me down to the underlying principle in what you and Chris from Las Vegas were generalizing on, is that the unifying principle here is the emergence of the Marxist religion with its double standard relative truth ethic. And with that moral superiority claimed, the socialist gives himself permission to behave any way he chooses and to make, in order to obtain the morally superior socio-political result. Sort of, too, you'll find in this same thing you found and you mentioned about, what is it, the Facebook shooter?
YouTube.
YouTube. All right.
Allegedly, yeah.
And one of the things that is sort of underlying this too is you allow me to sort of round out what you brought up. I believe was an emotional psychological profile. I'm going to round out the discussion, if I can, quickly from my own personal experience and education in the psychiatric clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about how this gal took ants out in the yard on a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's what her dad said.
If I were to interview her for diagnostic purposes, I would say, well, you know, maybe she's suffering from what we would call in the clinic paranoid personality disorder, mild to moderate, doing things like that, because what she's doing is identifying with a persecuted group, ants, you know, on whom we're always stomping and spraying and cursing and flicking with her fingers and so forth and washing away with pressure hoses, so she can identify with that group. I'm not criticizing, I'm just trying to sort of add that in there to round out the idea.
Interesting.
You know, no, the alarm bells don't go off on those kind of things. You know, we never prescribe medication for somebody just suffering from paranoid personality disorder, especially if you think it was mild. It's not like being a paranoid schizophrenic. Just sort of a general orientation, which I think I have the license to speak on because that's what you were commenting on, about her being nonviolent.
Yeah.
Well, maybe passive-aggressive, too, is another term we might tag on somebody like that. But it's not necessarily not indicative that something like that could later happen, especially when she was very truly and factually ill-treated by her employer or a business associate, I guess, in this case.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you're getting at, but if I could read between the lines and just kind of, I don't know, maybe oversimplify at the risk of oversimplifying, I guess, I'm not saying that it's not possible, and I haven't even gotten into the, you know, some of the weird anomalies, but I'm not saying it's not possible that she's not, that, you know, she didn't do what is alleged in the mainstream press. What I am saying is that based on even the mainstream accounts, the information, it seems highly unlikely that what is alleged is what happened. And based on what I know of what the FBI does in particular and how they – I mean, I just read from the FBI press release, Oregon resident arrested in plot to bomb Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. The FBI admits that they were driving this guy out and exploding backpack bombs before they drove him to a thing that, you know, they cooked up to entrap him. And they and it's on FBI.gov. And there are numerous other examples. One of my favorite that I've mentioned on my broadcast, Road Warrior Radio, a few times lately is a guy named Craig Montiel, and there's a Guardian article that's one of the best. There's a Guardian article. There's a political research article. Guardian is titled "The Ex-FBI Informant with a Change of Heart," and then they quote him. They say, you know, in the title it says, quote, "There is no real hunt. It's fixed." And there's the political research article from Movements to Mosques, Informants and Danger Democracy. And then another great article is the Washington Post article back in 2010. Tension grows between Caliph Muslims, that's California abbreviated, Caliph Muslims, FBI after informant, you know, between California Muslims and FBI, it's Caliph Muslims, comma, FBI after informant infiltrates mosque. And that's, there are a number of folks mentioned, that's a, like a four-page article that's pretty extensive, and it you read these kinds of articles and you understand that the FBI in particular has deployed a network, as Trevor Aronson points out in his 2015 TED Talk. It's at least 15,000. It's more since then, but at least 15,000 informants that satellite these mosques that often have imams planted in them, and it's usually the, you know, they're of a certain flavor, Wahhabi, Salafi, Deobandi. You have these Darul Uloom Institutes, you have the Islamic centers and those kinds of things. And, you know, it's part of a network. As Philip Haney pointed out, and he was one of the lead counterterrorism guys, Philip B. Haney, you know, they uncovered this network, and he said something to his leadership, DHS counterterrorism, and they said, thanks, you're fired, we're shutting it down. The Hillary Clinton State Department shut it down. And according to Philip Haney, if they would have been able to move forward on their investigation, the San Bernardino thing wouldn't have happened, the Orlando Pulse thing wouldn't have happened, the Parkland thing, a lot of these kinds of incidents. So I'm just saying, knowing who has means, motive, and opportunity, knowing how unlikely it is, knowing that, you know, former NYPD detective Pat Brosnan says that what happened, what's alleged is a unicorn on a rainbow, that kind of stuff. You know, it's just the odds are extremely high against it. Whereas on the COINTELPRO Gladio strategy of tension side, the odds are, it's very probable. You know what I mean? Did we lose Alan? All right. Well,
no, sir, I'm
sorry,
still here.
Okay.
What mine was wandering a little bit back to something that occurred to I guess most of us a good while ago about the really the risk of sounding like Patrick Henry, the stink of all these shootings.
Yeah.
Seems like there's always some foreknowledge of the person, right from Sandy Hook through Dylan Roof through this one here. Mm-hmm. They knew something about him. They quite often, I'm not going to say this perfectly, but they're quite often aware of the presence of the shooter at the scene before anything happens. And then somehow mysteriously they seem to know where he's going, even if some remote place or nearby place.
Right.
But that pattern there, knowledge, awareness, and after knowledge of how to apprehend or kill the person, it's always it's over and over and over again.
Yep, the Garland
really does suggest that there's something going on from that pattern there.
Absolutely. The Garland incident, Garland, Texas, Draw Muhammad contest is probably the most notable and provocative example of that, where the FBI agent tails the two would-be shooters and they show up and the FBI agent jumps out and starts taking pictures of the shooters and then drives off and gets stopped by law enforcement. And he says, FBI. Anyway, 60 Minutes did a couple of pieces on that, and we're still all wondering what the FBI was doing there taking pictures. And, you know, as far as that's concerned, like you said, the foreknowledge, the known wolf syndrome, as Patrick Henningsen puts it over at 21st Century Wire, that's, you know, again, it's that IHOP strategy. It happened on purpose, whether it was my hop, lie hop, or what I call high hop, help it happen on purpose, just somewhere in the middle, make it happen, let it happen, or help it happen on purpose. Either whatever the case, it happened on purpose. And like you said, it's interesting how with that foreknowledge, a crime isn't prevented. You know, Mountain View police said when they talked to Nassim Agdam early Tuesday morning around 1:40 a.m. for 20 minutes, apparently, she wasn't a danger to herself or others. She seemed normal, and they said they'd keep an eye on her. And then she went to a gun range early that morning and then wound up at YouTube headquarters. And there's some controversy over whether the family warned Mountain View police or not. But, I mean, there's definitely foreknowledge. Anyway.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. We need to get back to the phones. But, you know, in all of this is important to understand what's happening, because there are a lot of what I would call Gladio-styled events happening. They're ramping up. A couple, real quick, and we'll get back to the phones here. Saeed Vassell is one of the recent – he was the mentally ill guy, his family says, that was shot by NYPD after pointing what turned out to be a pipe at people, which sounds like and reminds me of Trevor Aronson's TED Talk and what Trevor Aronson said about the FBI's, you know, what we've come to know as Operation Gladio, Gladio B, Gladio C type operations. These operations, these sting – they call them sting operations Trevor Aronson said, which are usually led by an informant, provide the means and opportunity and sometimes even the idea for mentally ill and economically desperate people to become what we know, what we now term terrorists. And, you know, the FBI, the operative word is suborn. Anyway, so you have incidents like Saeed Vassell, who was the guy pointing a pipe at people that NYPD shot. And then you have other, you know, incidents like Isaiah Malilua, was a story that I mentioned, you know, from last month. Speaking of Gladio Ops and the strategy of tension, he was the kid who You know, we should just play this clip real fast. I'll give you this 24-second clip. Who is Isaiah Malilua? Well, listen to that. Go ahead whenever you're ready with that, please. Remember the kid that got nabbed at Chicago's Union Station last month, end of last month? Kind of weird deal. 21 year. Go ahead.
A man armed with a loaded gun wearing a bulletproof vest inside Chicago's busiest train station is now, thankfully, in custody. 21-year-old Isaiah Malilua of California caught at Union Station after police dogs sniffed explosive residue in an unattended bag. Inside, officers found stolen NYPD SWAT gear along with a bus ticket.
Yeah, okay, so that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? A kid from Redding, California, who was booked into Miami-Dade County Corrections on March 2nd. Don't know when he was released, but he was 3 weeks later picked up Friday, March 23rd in ROM Opportunities of Crisis Emmanuel's backyard at Chicago's Union Station. That's train station. Wearing a bulletproof vest. I say train station because he had a bus ticket on him. Wearing a bulletproof vest, carrying a loaded 9mm Taurus with a duffel bag full of SWAT equipment believed to be stolen from NYPD, later confirmed to be stolen from NYPD from a squad car, according to the Chicago Tribune. And how is this possible? You know, the Chicago Tribune story, from that story, you know, because you got to explain all this stuff away, and it always gets explained away after the fact. NYPD, SWAT gear found at Chicago's Union Station stolen from squad car. So a thief used a brick to smash the rear passenger side window of the police vehicle and fled with a bag containing helmets, vest panels, tourniquets, earpieces, and NYPD patches, the Post reported. The item items belong to the NYPD Strategic Response Group, the equivalent of Chicago SWAT unit, officials said. And what's interesting is they mention that this happened – where is it? Is in this story. This was, I think it was the ABC 7 Chicago story. This incident, yeah, here it is. This incident is the second time in a little more than a month that an armed man has been arrested in downtown Chicago while wearing bullet-resistant armor. The first case, February 13, involved a fatal shooting. That suspect, Shamari Leggett, a four-time felon, was arrested after police said he allegedly used a 9mm pistol to shoot and kill CPD Commander Paul Bauer in an outside stairwell at the Illinois Thompson Center. So lots of fun things there. Like, that sounds like Gladio. Was Paul Bauer, was CPD Commander Paul Bauer a guy who was not on board with the establishment nonsense? Chicago is a place that is, well, notoriously gun-free, yet four-time felon Shamari Leggett managed to get a 9mm pistol and body armor. That's funny. Criminals don't obey the law? That's weird. So I guess ROM Opportunities of Crisis Emmanuel will seize upon this latest opportunity to do something bad, because that's what arsonists do. Anyway, these kinds of events are happening because, again, in the fashion of, you know, the IHOP, it happened on purpose, whether let or made or helped. It serves to advance an agenda of, we misunderstand, it's not taking all guns away from everyone. It's the Brazilianization, as Michael Lind said, where you have certain people, elite people, they can have, they can be armed and they can have armed details, but the rest of us, not so much. That's what it's really all about. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Back to the phones in 30 seconds. First, think about this, though. You know, speaking of all of this stuff and the red flag laws and the mentally ill issue, two things. Even a cursory review of the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, and related materials brings one to the shocking realization that anyone, anywhere, could be accused of any number of so-called mental problems, and that, of course, not by accident. But second, and arguably as important and maybe even worse, even if not, even if we set that first issue aside, think about this. And I anticipate as a result of these ridiculous red flag laws, we'll begin to see a rash of this. Because in many cases, all you have to do is just say, hey, I think this person might be dangerous. And then suddenly they lose their firearms for a year without any evidence or court proceedings or anything in many cases in many of the states what's being proposed. So think about this. Political vengeance, for example, so to speak, you know, disarming an ex-spouse, for example, you're getting divorced and, hey, I think she's dangerous, so you should take her guns away. Or worse, a stalker gets someone disarmed as a pretext to harm them. Hey, I think this person's dangerous. Now they're disarmed and I can go harm them, you know, without worry. That's what I think we'll start to see. It's ridiculous. Let's go back to the phones and grab Roxanne in Texas. Roxanne, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good evening. As far as David Hogg is concerned, his grandpa was a naval intelligence. His dad was pretty much on that same thing. So he's a goner.
Yeah.
This little kid's a goner. We know that.
Unfortunately.
Okay, I'm going to do quick bullet points as quick as I can. Hundreds of CEOs have resigned, okay, because, you know, they do not like Trump, but they've resigned. So that's good. And we know 14-plus princes, military and businessmen, via that Vegas coup shooting, Salman was staying over at Tropicana. And Waleed's gunrunner was that, who's that guy that was supposedly in the mastermind of the shooting at Route 91. That's all
Paddock?
Crap. Okay, Paddock, yes. He's a gunrunner, yeah. U.S., Philippines. And you know who's the mouthpiece for Waleed bin Talal in the U.S. to Congress? That's Podesta's. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we could tile. I worked since 89 with the U.S. government. Not for. But with. See, I can talk. I don't have to sign contracts. I work with. I drove motorcade. I did all this kind of crap. Now, this Nassim Najafali Adaham, that supposedly shooter at YouTube, that's transgender. Okay, that's a transgender.
She kind of struck me that way initially, too. Yeah.
Her dad, Ismail, he's totally involved with the government. And
do you have any source for that? Because I haven't found that yet. I was suspicious of his little one-man company.
All of it. But do you know who Trump listens to? Is Kim, .com, like one word. It's a big,
you're talking about Kim.com.
Hungarian.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the reason Trumpets wants to stay in Syria is he's trying to gather up so-called friends of the U.S. to obliterate ISIS, which we created under Obama and all that. And you can go back to Bush. You can go back to where you want.
Carter.
But nonetheless.
Operation Cyclone.
Carter started the SDS, right? And they're all claiming Trump's insane. Well, you idiots started it. Okay, so you can't even go there. But what Trump, I believe, and what I do gather from the people that I do know still around, I can't say I know insider information. If I say that, it has to be out there. Because if you say you have insider information, now you're treason. So I do know what I do know. But anyway, what Trump is trying to figure out via the Syria operation that Obama put us into for democracy in Syria, which they don't want, leave people alone, but is to find out who is on our side.
Well, democracy is the clarion call of the color revolutionary. So that's what that is.
Correct.
And Syria is part of the plan, obviously. You know, the greater Israel,
pipeline,
greater Middle East, Wolfowitz doctrine.
Yeah.
That, and it's part of the new Silk Road route. And so, you know, we got to hurry up and get this done. Yep.
Yep. And, you know, all these poor little kids that buy into it. Do you know Cameron Kasky? He's part of this whole March for Our Lies, I call it. Cameron
right,
Kasky,
he's the admitted actor.
Right. He graduated Pinecrest 206. I have all that data. I have 20 of them. I work with Fetzer. I work with you. I work with everybody so we can get the message out. It doesn't matter who I work with. But the point is Cameron Caskey's dad and his granddad or his uncle, I'm not quite sure who John Caskey is yet, but they worked with their lawyers for the One World Adoption Agency. They go back to the
Child Traffickers
Clinton Foundation, and they brought 83 Haitian children into the United States.
Because they're great people. Yeah.
They're all criminals.
Child trafficking.
And thank you for what you do, and God bless all. Bye.
Right on. Thanks, Roxanne, for your call. Appreciate it. I won't go down a rabbit hole. First, we'll go back to the phones. Let's go back to the phones and grab Laura in Michigan. Laura, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to give you the difference between Hogg and Hitler. Hitler wanted to get the Bolshevik communists out of his country, and Hogg wants to facilitate communism by taking our Second Amendment. You see? That's the difference.
Yes.
If you don't believe me about Hitler, then why did Patton at the end of the war say, "I think we were fighting the wrong people"?
Right. Why was he headed north? Absolutely. But I understand your point, and I don't disagree, but you know, you think about Hitler's revenge for the failed beer hall putsch, for example, and you think about Mein Kampf and the vengeful nature of the demeaning and denigrating nature to the people, supposedly. You know, if all they're trying to do is oust the Bolshevik communist, the denigrating nature of his remarks to the rest of the people that he's supposedly supporting in his speeches in Mein Kampf, insulting people with lowest common denominator propaganda and those kinds of things. And obviously there are other folks involved, but, you know, he's the lead guy. He's going to get the blame, the lion's share of the blame, so to speak. Anyway. When you think of those kinds of things,
I think 60 million people who died under communism, Bolshevism. I think
right,
about
which
them.
Is,
they don't get a Holocaust museum. You know, there are Holocaust museums every state.
And that's why I mentioned R.J. Rummel's Death by Government, and that's why I mentioned that that whole put-up job that you're talking about was really so that we could create this political Zionist mechanism to collide against political Islam, which is most notably Wahhabism, Salafism, and Deobandism. And you have this British Israel cooperating with British Saudi Arabia, and yet they're supposedly at odds ideologically, yet they're cooperating, when actually they're spinning out this toxic ideology and drawing the world into the ultimate conflict, according to Pike's letter to Mazzini back in 1871.
As for the shooter at YouTube, she was 40, I believe. All I have to say
39,
is never underestimate.
39
never
yesterday.
The woman is at YouTube?
Yeah.
I thought she was 40.
Now, they said the mainstream accounts are that she turned 39 yesterday.
Okay. Well,
or yesterday would have been her 39th birthday.
Yeah. Okay. So. Never underestimate a woman in menopause. That's my answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah.
So you look out. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
True.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura. Isn't that what they say? You know, that's the danger of a female president. Every 28 days, we'd have really intense negotiations, but I guess the rest of the time it'd be okay. I know that's probably whatever. It's not my joke, but anyway, let's go back to the phones and grab Joe in California. Joe, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I can recall half of this stuff that I wanted to talk about. One of them is CIA document 1035-960. CIA document 1035-960. Their internal document that says you immediately label someone as a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, silence them. Anybody yep. who speaks out against the government generated propaganda, you know, the yep. official story, so to speak.
Right.
And then the FBI, you know, there's the deep state military-industrial complex that makes sure that it always gets the same unaccountable Pentagon no-bid contracts. And then there's the shadow government, which is the government employee labor unions that make sure that nobody ever gets prosecuted. You know, they keep shuffling the court cases around so nobody ever goes down for the crimes being committed against the taxpayers who end up funding it all.
Yeah.
And my question is, when the FBI is ordered to put snipers up to kill the American people, who issues that order? You know, when the FBI had the internal memos that came out that said we have to kill the peaceful protesters, Occupy Wall Street protesters, with snipers from a long distance and then put the stuff out to make it look like the protesters killed themselves, you know, to, like, a cover-up. Who is it that issues those orders?
That's a good question, and I definitely can't answer that. I would be speculating if I did, but, you know, my conjecture would be, in accordance with Ralph McGahee's quote, that, you know, the CIA is not a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisor. So it would be those folks. And, you know, you have...
Another thing I would like to ask is, when Mueller and Brennan and Hillary traveled to Tunisia to get that Harzi Sharif guy out of jail, the one that attacked the guy in Benghazi and killed him,
mm-hmm.
right when they got Harzi Sharif out of jail and got him clear of the building, he was magically killed in a surprise drone attack so that he couldn't talk anymore. And what is Hillary and Brennan and Mueller doing getting someone out of jail so that they can have an unfortunate drone attack?
Exactly. It's a good question. It sounds kind of sounds rhetorical, but yeah.
You know, and I'm sure I sound sarcastic in the way I talk, because when I hear these stories and they're basically told as the government official story, and you look at it first and then you're like, are you kidding me that they're trying to sell such a story? One of those was when Vince Foster killed himself, and then shortly after he killed himself, he bought a one-way ticket or a round-trip ticket to Geneva so he could fly there and empty out his accounts and send them to a Hillary Clinton charity. And then he flew back and buried himself at Fort Marcy Park and threw the gun a short distance away. And that's the official right. story that the government wants you to believe.
Right.
One of the things Vince Foster said was, I wish I would have never told the Clintons about the backdoor in the Promise software. And
yeah,
I think with today's computers and the ability for everyone to say, oh, what'd you do, wipe it clean with a cloth, ha ha ha, or the dogs ate the hard drive, it's that computer is going to be the scapegoat for everyone's criminal activity nowadays. They're just going to say, under plausible deniability, the computer broke the law, I didn't do anything wrong, those BlackBerries leaked the secrets themselves, or so on. You know, the classified headings cut themselves off the documents.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, I talk about a talk that Larry Ellison gave at a tech conference. I think it was back in 2015. And what is the article? It was a Business Insider article. He talked about the M7 Spark chip. Anyway, I won't pull it up, but he talked about how you know, one of the things he mentioned was, it was crazy that, you know, what's happening. He said, I know a lot of stuff because I have security clearances, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the article in front of me, but he said you know, I know stuff. I have security clearances because remember the CIA was Oracle's first client. Anyway, that's interesting. But he said things will, you know, with all of this data getting stolen, it's pretty crazy. But when things are going to get crazier is when data can be hacked. And so that's why we've developed the Spark M7 chip that they say is hacker-proof, or they said at the time was hacker-proof, and that provides chip-level encryption. And a couple of concerns. First of all, if you understand chip-level encryption, you know that you can be locked out of the operating system at the chip level. Bad guys can write back doors at the chip level now. And even on these, you know, on server farms, for example, you could be locked out of your own server.
Yeah, but it's still not the software breaking the law. It's the criminal using a tool
I'm getting to the other concern, though. I'll mention the other concern on the other side of this break, which pertains to what you're saying. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's National Intel Report. The article I was talking about was Business Insider, October 27, 2015. Larry Ellison just painted a frightening picture of what hackers could do next. And who are the hackers? It's NSA, CIA. It's those guys. And they're surrogates. Go look at WikiLeaks CIA Vault 7 leaks, or listen to what John Arquillis said back on May 29, 2009, interviewed by Warren Olney on To The Point, KCRW, when he said, "My master hacker friends say there are no such things as firewalls." Anyway, in that article, he said, "You think stealing data is bad? Wait until you can change the data." And so my point here is, we hear that Nassim Agdam bought her handgun legally back on January 16th. And my conjecture is, what if those records could be changed? Anyway, that's the point. And who's to say, you know? Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Joe, I appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phones in the remaining moments here in the final segment and grab Dennis in Indiana. Dennis, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Cliff. I just want to keep this real short. This is just being a smart guy. This Mr. David Hogg, I think he's related to Boss Hogg of Dukes of Hazzards or something like that. Which I don't think he's not. I think when he gets out of school, he's a guy that never has an honest job and make an honest living. And why, if they're so worried about marching for our lives, don't they march for the ones that are aborted each and every year in America? And why doesn't he march for, join the March of Dimes like I did when I was a young person?
Yeah.
So they can fight. Birth defects, so that they can be perfect like he is, I guess, apparently.
Yeah.
And then another comment to you. You're talking about that guy, like that guy, in Chicago that broke the window out and stole the SWAT team stuff.
Well, they're not saying he did it. They're saying that he was in possession of what was stolen. That was Isaiah Malilua. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But somebody stole it, or he got a hold of it somehow. But
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like that all across America. Why can't we have somebody that's like a private investigator, independent media, that's in check with it, with these computers? You just got done talking about a chip that they won't be able to hack. Why can't they have one in each one of those places where the FBI or the NSA is, where they can put those kind of chips, and not only the FBI, the NSA, possibly the military that's in the United States, the policemen, the SWAT teams,
and have those kinds of chips. Not a bad thought. The problem is, again, as Larry Ellison said, the CIA was Oracle's first client, and so those guys are building back doors into these things before they're installed so that they can hack that stuff, but no one else can. That's my point. And when you think about that in conjunction with the blockchain, then you understand how, people say, well, it can't be hacked. Well, yes, it can at the chip level in real time, and there would be no record of it. See the problem? Anyway.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Dennis, I appreciate your call.
We're out of time. Just one short thing.
Appreciate your call, Dennis. We're out of time, folks. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in. That'll do it for today.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.